Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just tuning in. My name is Ismail Vidyava, and welcome to all our listeners via the medium wave 1548 Satellite Islam and the audio streaming. And we've got a wonderful guest, and that's Andrea Durham, and she's given us some wonderful ideas of what we could do with containers and pots. And please, there's a wonderful idea and wonderful opportunity to get your children involved. So that was some of the ideas coming through before the break. We're now going to look at, and sometimes we forget that gifts make such stunning, I beg your pardon, plants make such stunning gifts. And you help us with that.
Yes, you know, I think people don't really give plants as gifts, very seldom. When we do, it's usually, you know, oh, somebody's sick and we get them a nice flowering pot plant or something like that. But really, plants and flowers aren't just for sad occasions, they're also for happy occasions. And I think making a gift with your own hands, I think that is something very, very special and something that's very rare in this day and age. I mean, normally, you know, gifts, you know, we head off to the shops and we get yet another toiletries gift, you know. I don't know if you've ever had one of those Christmases where you get four sets, which is great. And I mean, you use it all up eventually. But it's sort of a last resort, I don't know what to get this person kind of thing. Something that you make with your very own hand, something that you in some way arranged or created or made with your own hands, is just so much more special because it shows that you really, really... There's something very special about giving plants as gifts. It's not as bad as giving someone a puppy or kitten, which is a terrible thing to do, and please don't do it. But it's a living thing, and it keeps growing and thriving and being beautiful over the years. And it gives that person pleasure for so many years to come. What can be extra, extra special is if you grew that plant yourself, and it doesn't have to be difficult. One of my favorites for plants as gifts, and it's so much fun to do as well, is to take a nice container and then choose pieces of succulents from my garden. And there's so many beautiful, beautiful succulents with such a variety of leaf shapes and leaf colors. They don't even really need to be in flower to be pretty. Now you take these and you arrange them, almost as if you were making a flower arrangement, but in potting soil. And because succulents are so easy to grow, you just need to put them outside, water them as you would water a plant that's growing, and your little succulent garden comes to life. And that's something very, very special that you created with your own hands. You've used your creativity to create a little mini garden that you can give to somebody. And they can either keep it in the pot, which they probably will do for quite a while, or else put it out in their gardens. And every time they look at it, every time those plants do something new and special and make a little flower or something like that, oh, yes, that's the plant so-and-so grew especially for me.
That's such a wonderful idea, you know, and the succulents are something that you said, you know, continue for a long period of time, and it needs very little care. So it is something that is easy to make. Any other ideas about gifting? And I like the idea you spoke about earlier on, you know, two rubber bands and then to put all those pencil colors around it. I think that's a wonderful idea. It's just something stunning and that you could give to a teacher.
Lovely for a teacher or a student, and I'll have a lifetime supply of pencils. There are lots of ways to make a plant look really, really pretty as a gift. Pay attention to everything. We've already spoken about the pots. What you can do if you don't have time to really, really decorate the pot with hot glue and what have you, is just get some nice stiff paper and then sort of wrap it around the pot, almost so that it makes a cone around the pot. Looks quite nice if you take one corner of the paper towards the top to really sort of make it almost like a cornet of attractive, colourful cardboard around there. Nice big satin bow, or you can use the plastic, make it nice big bow around it, just to make it look more presenty. And then also, of course, the surface of the soil that you can pretty up with pebbles that you pick up yourself or that you go and buy. One of the ones I love is, you know, you get these scratch patches where you can get little semi-precious stones. You can get sort of a whole bank packet full of them for about 30 rand. And for something really, really special, I love that you're getting a whole bunch of tiger's eyes or something really pretty and putting that on the surface of the pot. Really just adds that very, very nice special touch. Yes, as I said, well, succulents, lovely way to gift plants to people. Those that are keener gardeners might like to do a little bit more of the work themselves. So what you can also do is just pop down and get to the garden center, get a whole bunch of seeds that you can give them, and they can sort of sow them on the time that they need them. And that's also sort of fun. I love it, you know, open a package of these seeds and gardening gloves and things like that, and it gets me really, really excited. Little bonsai trees, also a lovely, lovely one to give as gifts. And, you know, you can make them yourself. You can grow little trees from seed, and then it's just a matter of putting it all up in a pot, and there you go. Lovely gift. So you can actually turn your hobby into something that brings pleasure to your friends as well as to you.
Thank you very much. I've got a couple of queries and questions that have come through. They wanted to know about stevia, the use of stevia. How would one use it once it is in a pot, and what would be the best way to use the stevia plant?
Well, you know, I've never been fortunate enough to actually come across a stevia plant, I'm going to be honest with you. I know what it's used for. I know that it's used as a sweetener. But that's about the extent that I know about it, I'm afraid to say. So, yeah, I can't really give you much on that one.
Okay, the next one about the comfrey. What are the benefits of comfrey, and how should comfrey be treated?
Oh, lots of things that comfrey is good for, which is very well known for its healing properties. But you have to be a little bit careful with taking that plant internally, because it apparently can withdraw iron from the body, something like that. But I have definitely read that you need to be careful about using it. I would consult with your doctor if you're planning to take it internally. But the way I've seen a lot of people using it is to take the leaves with hot water and make a sort of a poultice and put that then externally on things like inflamed joints, injured muscles and so on. And then this poultice apparently really, really speeds up the healing. With broken bones, it's apparently supposed to help to speed healing. But I would warn anybody who's thinking of taking this internally to at least discuss it with your doctor, because there are things about that particular plant that can make it dangerous to use. Okay, well, chamomile's a lovely herb to have in the garden, and beautiful self-seeding, makes lovely little white flowers, and it has a lovely flower that turns into a very relaxing tea that can help you to sleep better at night. I think that's how most people use it. They like the chamomile for sleeping better at night, and very, very nice for making a hair rinse or a facial rinse for the ladies who like to keep themselves looking beautiful.
Now, is there any other, you know, they normally talk about the plant that would help. Now, I know there's no cure for cancer, but the there's a particular bush that they refer to. Do you know anything about that?
Well, there are a few plants that are supposed to have anti-cancer properties. Whether as prevention or whether they might sort of help to prevent spread or so on, I think a lot of this is still under research. The one that you're referring to is the cancer bush, which is actually a very attractive bush to grow in your garden. It's quite widely grown for the herbal supplements industry. But I believe there hasn't been much research done yet on the purported anti-cancer properties of the plant. However, you know, if you're sick, You want to try everything that might possibly work, and I do understand that. Again, very important to talk to your doctor, especially if you're using medication, which I assume if you have cancer you will be, because there can be clashes with medications. Another plant that's said to have very strong anti-cancer properties is aloe, interestingly enough, and I know we've spoken about aloe ferox and its healing properties almost to death, but apparently that is also one of the things that it can do. And there is a research study that showed some sort of effect from using aloe arborescence juice, also a species of aloe. With the Krantz alvein, or quite a bushy aloe that's grown. And you'll find some information on that. I will say to people, when you're researching this kind of thing online, do take everything you read with a pinch of salt. There is unfortunately a lot of misinformation out there on the internet, primarily intended to sell products and to sell books. So be a little bit, be a little bit suspicious of the information you find, and take it with a pinch of salt. But yes, indeed, there are plants that are said to have anti-cancer properties. And in fact, any of our vegetables that we eat every day, anything contains antioxidants. And that really, really covers just about any healthy vegetable plant. It's said to have a certain degree of anti-cancer activity because of the action of clearing free radicals, which in turn promote unhealthy conditions and illness. So yes, I would definitely not want to say that there's any plant that cures cancer. For skin cancer, by the way, one that I have actually seen working, and I was quite impressed with, was Kygelia. But there we had to buy a cream from the health shop. And Kygelia is the sausage tree, and I'm not quite sure how they extracted this gel from it. But it certainly seemed to heal the little melanoma. It was going to be burnt off, but then the doctor said, well, try it and see if this cream does the trick. And it did. So yes, I believe that there are plants out there with anti-cancer properties, but we do have to remember that any really serious claims, as in this will cure cancer, are probably very much exaggerated, because if it did, everybody would be doing it, wouldn't they?
Definitely, definitely. And let's just go on, I have a query about wild garlic and how do you plant ginger. Is there any benefit in planting wild garlic?
Wild garlic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, the wild garlic is actually very, very helpful, a very useful plant. A lot of people don't realize you can actually replace the ordinary clove garlic, which is a lot harder to grow, by the way. I'm growing some. It's doing quite well. But the wild garlic is much quicker, much easier, and actually has a stronger flavor. The only thing with using it in cooking is to remember that it has a stronger flavor and to use considerably less of it. It also has the same sort of antibiotic properties as garlic, which is obviously famed as a healthful plant. And my wild garlic grows faster than I can use it. I do use it in my cooking. I love it on my roast potatoes. Just do use it sparingly because it is very, very, very strong flavored. So cut it up fine and sprinkle it thin. But yes, definitely the wild garlic, I use the leaves primarily. Because of that very, very strong flavor, you can use the little bit at the bottom. But I find that just a little bit too strong. So I generally just harvest a few leaves, chop that up fine, put that into my cooking, and it's just as good as the cultivated garlic, which is a lot harder to grow.
So that's the one that has a purple flower on the top, is that correct?
That's correct. You also get a little white form, but it's much, much scarcer. So yes, most of us will notice the one with the purple flower. The flowers, by the way, are tasty too, and very, very nice in salads. Because it's almost like a sweet flavor mixed with garlic. Hard to explain. Don't try it in your own garden. Have a nibble of a flower and see what you think.
The other one about ginger, how do you grow ginger? Is there a particular way to grow ginger?
Look, ginger is an incredible healing plant. There's several major tomes on herbal medicine where you'll find ginger under just about every possible heading of things that it can really benefit for. And even just as a general health tonic, ginger is absolutely wonderful plant to grow, and obviously for spicing and foods. To grow ginger, I would buy, and you won't always be lucky, unfortunately, because of you don't know how these things are stored. If you're lucky enough to find garlic root in your vegetable shop that's already sprouting,
that's
then
ginger roots. I beg your pardon, we're talking ginger, not garlic.
Ginger roots.
Mm-hmm.
If you find ginger roots that are already sprouting, which you'd be quite lucky to find. If you do find that, then you know, this is a surefire bet. Alternatively, you'll just have to buy a nice, healthy-looking root, take it home, and leave some of it to sprout, and hope that it will sprout. Again, that really, really depends on how it has been looked after while it was stored, and that you unfortunately can't know. But if you're lucky enough to get a piece sprouting, it's wonderful because you can sort of cut it up into sections, because it's sort of like a long root, and it will sprout on places on the root where the nodes are. And if you can get it to sprout, then you can easily plant the pieces out in your garden. I usually get them sprout out of the ground, because otherwise you might just be wasting it. Unfortunately, as I said, the garlic, at least the ginger that one buys in the veggie shop, doesn't always sprout as you would like it to. But when you're lucky enough to get that happening, go for it and plant. It will take a while before your plants are ready for harvest, because those roots really have to have a bit of time to grow and thicken up. I wouldn't even think of looking to see whether they're ready to harvest for at least those 2 years and possibly longer. But very attractive plant. And you can mix it in with your ornamental plants. It's perfectly at home. It's got very attractive flowers and very foliage. So a very nice plant to grow in your garden, and really an investment in the longer term. Well worth doing.
And the question coming through, do you need any particular type of soil for that?
Well, as with any plant with a fleshy root, I would say that if your soil is poorly drained, your root will tend to rot. So you don't want too soggy of a soil. But I think in South Africa, there are a few places in some gardens, especially in this part of the world, where the southern slopes are very damp and very poorly drained. But it's less common of the problem. Ideally, you want well-drained soil, and a bit of compost never goes amiss. Certainly in my soil, the ginger really, really thrives. I've got a little patch that I managed to get sprouted from a root, and it's really, really doing very, very well. It does need good light. So if it's getting shade, definitely not all day long. Ideally, sunshine.
And the depth that you have to plant it?
Well, I like to let it make those little green sprouts, and then I'll put them in a pot with just a little green sprout sticking out, and let it get a little bit bigger before putting it in my garden, just so it doesn't get lost, you know. And then once it's a little bit stronger, I would plant it to the same depth that it's basically going. Plants are very clever. They're sort of able to sort themselves out to a large degree.
And the final question, something someone's asked about the moringa. Are you aware of the moringa plant, and is there any benefit to that?
Moringa?
M-O-R-I-N-G-A, I think that's the way it's said.
Yes, I have. I have heard about it, and I've heard that there are benefits, but I don't know it.
That's fine. That's fine. But thank you very much for sharing, and thanks, Andrea. You take care. Thank you very much for all the information. It's just wonderful to have you on the air, and I've learned so much, and so have our listeners. I will be chatting to you again. You take care. Thanks, Madeline.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Andrea Durham giving us some wonderful ideas of what we could do with pots and giving us some wonderful ideas of how we could use them and give them as well. And I spoke about some of the herbs. Remember, if you are taking any of these things, you can to check with your health practitioner, your doctor, before you take any of them, especially if you're going to use them internally, and make sure that you have the correct advice before deciding that you're going to use them. That's all for me. Until we meet again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.